From the live music capital of the world, this is the Austin Music Experience. I'm Jody Denver. You might not know the name Jim Eno, but you certainly know his work. He's the drummer and producer for Spoon. He's the man behind Public Hi-Fi Recording Studios, and now he's the head of his own record label. Today on the program, we talk with Jim Eno about recording Lady Gaga. Yeah, the new Spoon album, and Spoon's legendary bad luck in their early years.
We were borrowing a tape machine from someone. We are rewinding the tape, and then all of a sudden we hear a bang, and the tape splits in two.
Plus, live recordings from some Jim Eno-associated artists, including The Relatives, Telekinesis, and a rarity from Spoon. We'll remember the late songwriter and Texas Poet Laureate Steve Fromholtz with a remarkable live performance from our archives. All that and more as the Austin Music Experience gets underway. This is the Austin Music Experience. I'm Jody Denberg. Our job is to bring the Austin Music Experience to you with a mix of live music and in-depth interviews, and later on we'll present a conversation with Jim Eno. You know him as the drummer from Spoon and the man behind Austin's Public Hi-Fi, a recording studio and record label that counts Arcade Fire, Bill Callahan, and yes, Lady Gaga as clients. But first, we like to kick off the show with new music. Eliza Gilkison's new album, The Nocturne Diary, comes out in mid-March. We have a sneak preview track from it that features the likes of Ian McClagan, Rich Brotherton, Chris Marish, and others. Eliza Gilkison on the Austin Music Experience. This is called The Red Rose and the Thorn.
You are the thief that the night calls in. You're always gone by the light of morn. You steal my heart and leave for me the red rose and the thorn. You're always waiting around the bend. Your steps I trace where the path is worn. Along the way you've placed for me the red rose and the thorn. I've searched for you both far and wide, from mountaintop to riverside. You're the master of disguise who's hiding right before my eyes.
Rocky RC, son of a gun. September 5th, 1939. Oh, what a glorious day. Everything was on the brink. Compromises make you ill. Now everything worth dreaming of keeps you awake at night. Yeah. It's not at all worth thinking of. You hide your fun and that's enough. Like blazing guitar, just like Bruce Lee. But under the canopy, you were just like me. You remind me of someone serenading everyone. You resort to soapy rituals from when the world was young and fair. It's not at all worth thinking of. You hide your fun, surely that's enough. You look just like blazing talk, just like you sleep. But under the just like me. You remind me of someone. Could have been a champion. Oh, could have been a many splendid thing, but somehow got away. It's not something we talk about, but even so, there's little doubt. You look just like Liz and me talk, just like Bruce Lee.
Austin's Grammy-nominated Eliza Gilkison on the Austin Music Experience. That's who you heard first from her forthcoming album, The Nocturne Diaries, The Red Rose and the Thorn. And then from Norway, it was Sandra Lerche, who worked on the song we heard, Rejection No. 5, for 10 years before he put it to tape. Do they still use tape? With Jim Eno at Public Hi-Fi. And we have a massive conversation with Jim Eno later on the Austin Music Experience. But first, let's talk about another project that Jim Eno did last year, the album Dormarian from Seattle's Telekinesis, and that's actually the name of the street that Public Hi-Fi sits on, Dormarian. Telekinesis stopped by KUTX's Studio 1A last year, and we'll hear a few songs from that live performance in a moment. But first, Michael Lerner of Telekinesis talked with KUTX's Jay Trachtenberg about the album Dormarian.
The album, well, it was recorded here in Austin with Jim Eno.
Yep.
And it's essentially a two-man project.
Yeah.
You, Michael Lerner, who's playing drums today, teamed up with another drummer.
Yeah, two drummers making a record.
So, yeah, what was that like, having...
There were so many times that we both turned to each other and said, is it a guitar on tune? Because we just didn't know how to tune a guitar or change a string. It was pretty... It was hilarious. And the funny thing is there's two songs on this record that have drum machines, which is is not the case with the previous records. So it's hilarious that two drummers almost like canceled each other out and created a drum machine sound.
Well, previously you'd worked with Chris Walla of Death Cab for Cutie. How did you make that transition, or what prompted the transition to work with Jim Eno?
Jim and I had been talking for about 4 years, probably. I went and visited his studio here called Public Hi-Fi after one of our shows and kind of fell in love with it. And we just always were talking about making a record together, and then the timing just worked out perfectly. So I came here last summer and sweated a lot and made a record for like, I was here for 2 weeks. I loved it. It was my first time in Austin minus South by Southwest or ACL. So it was like, it felt like the city was a city,
right?
Not just a crazy, crazy town.
Right.
I loved it. I absolutely loved it.
We're here with Telekinesis. We get you to do another tune?
Yeah, totally.
Full of ghosts and creatures with fear.
Two exclusive live performances on the Austin Music Experience from Seattle's Telekinesis, the original versions of those songs produced by Jim Eno, who we're going to talk to in a moment. We just heard Wires, and before that, Telekinesis with Ghosts and Creatures. Coming up, the conversation we've been talking about with Jim Eno on Public Hi-Fi, psychedelic gospel group The Relatives, and his band Spoon's new album. Plus, we'll hear exclusive live performances from The Relatives and Spoon as the Austin Music Experience continues. From the live music capital of the world, this is the Austin Music Experience, y'all.
I'm Gary Hartman with the Center for Texas Music History at Texas State University in San Marcos. This week in Texas Music History, we'll recall a singer, actor, and bandleader who carried Texas jazz to Hollywood. Smith Ballou was born Sykes Ballou in Palestine, Texas on January 21, 1902. He attended the University of Texas, where he organized a jazz group known as Jimmy's Joys. Ballou worked with Tommy and Jimmy Dorsey and several other notable jazz musicians before starting his own successful band, the Smith Ballou Orchestra, in 1929.
Just picture a penthouse way up in the sky, with hinges on chimneys for stars to go by, a sweet slice of heaven for just you and I, when we're alone. From all of society, we'll stay aloof and live in propriety there on the roof. To heavenly hermits, we will be in truth when we're alone. We'll see life's mad patterns.
Smith Ballou went on to record for more than 30 record labels, including Columbia, Victor, and Decca. He also lived in Hollywood for 20 years, where he played music and appeared in 24 movies. Next time on This Week in Texas Music History, we'll celebrate the first female singer to work with the King of Western Swing. This Week in Texas Music History is made possible in part with support from Humanities Texas. I'm Gary Hartman.
With your weekly roundup of Austin music news, I'm Tyler Pratt, and this is your Soundcheck. All right, Austin, it's time to get ready for the X Games. This week, ESPN revealed the four-day sports and music festival's competition schedule, artist lineup, and dates. And headlining the music portion is none other than Kanye West. Also joining the rap giant are Flaming Lips, Pretty Lights, Bad Religion, Gary Clark Jr., Mayor Hawthorne, and many more. This year's extreme sports will include rallycross racing, BMX, skateboarding, Moto X, and stadium super trucks. It all goes down at Austin's Circuit of the Americas, June 5th through the 8th. More information and tickets on the X Games Austin website. Is Austin the pre-World War II music capital? Well, according to the Austin American-Statesman, the answer could be yes. Nancy Flores wrote in the Statesman this week that Austin's pre-World War II music scene has become one of the strongest in the country, attracting musicians from across the U.S. Flores says that hot jazz, klezmer, and other Prohibition-era sounds have been infused into pop culture, with TV shows and films such as Boardwalk Empire and The Great Gatsby gaining popularity. And now, they've seeped into venues across the city. If you're looking to get your nostalgia fix, the article suggests the Elephant Room, Central Market, East Side Showroom, and Quality Seafood Market as places around town providing outlets for these resurging genres. A documentary about Doug Somm needs you. The film from noted Texas author Joe Nick Patowski about the Texas tornado is gearing up for production this year, but producers say that much funding is still needed, three-fourths, in fact. For more information, check out the documentary's website, allaboutthegroove.com. You're listening to Dealer's Blues by Doug Somm here on the Austin Music Experience. I'm Tyler Pratt.
Spent it hard for 2 weeks, spent some time in Mexico, eating mushrooms and jalapenos, never let the good time roll. I got the dealer's blues, it's a game that you just can't lose.
I'm Jody Denberg. Drummers are often on the receiving end of most music-related jokes, but Jim Eno's resume is nothing to laugh at. He formed Spoon almost 2 decades ago with Britt Daniel, and he helped develop the band's signature sound from behind the drum kit as well as behind the glass as the producer. Jim Eno's public hi-fi recording studio has become a go-to destination for a wide variety of artists, both big and small, and recently it's morphed into a record label as well. And I recently sat down with Jim Eno to talk about all the various hats he's been wearing these days. The most recent thing that you did is a piece of vinyl by this guy from Norway called Sondre Lerche.
Mm-hmm.
Tell me how that came about.
Well, worked with him about 3 years ago. We did a couple songs. He was coming by, coming through touring. Did a couple songs. They've just been sitting there. They never... made it on a record. It never fit with any of the stuff he was doing. So had this idea to come up with a public hi-fi single series where this is a perfect example. I have a couple songs sitting around that I'm really into. I talk to Sondre, I mix them, and then put out a 12-inch single, basically, one song on each side. And it's a way for me to put out music that I've worked on that... either hasn't come out or just I'm really into that I produce that, you know, I feel like people will like, so.
And the first public hi-fi release, if I'm not mistaken, was a wonderful record by the Austin Trio Dupree, right?
Correct, yeah. Thank you. Yeah.
Did you produce that record or?
Yeah. I mean, it was a live two-track stereo left and right recording. So we basically treated it as just sort of like an old school capture, a session, no mixing, nothing could be changed after it went to tape. And then we took the tape and mastered that directly to the vinyl. So the vinyl is 100% analog, no digital at all.
Boy, I tell you, that Dupree record sounds wonderful.
Thank you, yeah.
Thank you. Austin jazz trio Dupree from their album Nuestro Camino, which was recorded all analog, that's right, with tape, at Jim Eno's Public Hi-Fi Studios. And it was the debut release from Public Hi-Fi, the record label. And now for Public Hi-Fi, the history. More from our conversation with Jim Eno. I think it was in the late 90s you were doing the Third Spoon record, Girls Can Tell.
Yeah.
And the first Public Hi-Fi Studios went up. But that's not the studios that we're dealing with now.
No. You, as far as like what I have and the structure and everything?
Yeah, and the structure.
Yeah, yeah. It was originally a two-car garage that I converted to a studio when I moved to a house over like at Mopac in Windsor. And then I tore that down right before we started Ga 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 and rebuilt that. So Ga 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 was the first record that we did in the new studio. And it basically looks like a garage apartment, but it's built as a studio.
Did you have it in your mind during the early years of Spoon that, and being in other people's studios, that, hey, one day, you know, I could do this myself?
Yeah, yeah. I was always fascinated by recording, and I always felt like I didn't want to quit a day job just to be a drummer in a band. And I felt like I wanted to be doing a lot of different things. And recording and producing and being in a studio, I would do it after my day job every day, and I still love doing it. And I'm like, well, if I ever do this alone, I think I'm going to enjoy it, you know?
Now, I've been to Public Hi-Fi Studios, and I was actually there one night when Justin Timberlake was there in the studios.
Oh, really?
And it was a lot of fun.
Yeah.
And
it's fun hanging out with Justin.
Yeah, or any of the musicians that are in there.
Yeah.
And when I look at the list of people who've been at Public Hi-Fi, I don't know if all of them have been there physically or you've just worked on their stuff. But
yeah.
Let me rattle off some names for you or for everyone, because a lot of our local friends, I think, have worked there. Bill Callahan, Ockerville, Alejandro Escovedo.
Yeah.
You've worked on projects by Lady Gaga there?
Yeah. When she played the Irwin Center, she booked my studio for 2 days. I forget what record that was, but she would rent a studio in every town that she had a show and then bop back and forth to finish her record. But yeah, she was there for one of those 2 days.
So it's quite a roster of people that have worked at Public Hi-Fi.
Yeah, yeah.
There's another record that you turned us on to that you produced by The Relatives.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Tell us a little bit about these guys, because they're a church group from Dallas, right?
Yeah, yeah. They were a group that put out, I think, a couple of 7-inch singles in the early 70s, and nothing ever came of it. And so they just were preachers, so they didn't do music, and they Tommy and Gene both have churches. And then the 7-inches that they put out were just climbing in for rarities and things like that. They were very, very expensive. So Noel Wagoner, who is a guy here in Austin, found some unreleased material, and then they ended up singing on the Black Joe Lewis record I was doing. And then Zach and I talked about doing their record. So we did the first record that they ever released, actually.
The Electric Word.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Congratulations.
Yep. Thanks. Yeah.
That is such a wonderful, inspiring, I guess inspirational is what it's supposed to be.
Yeah, yeah.
But a great piece of work.
Yeah.
And here's a song that originally appeared on The Electric Word. This is a live version of Let Your Light Shine by The Relatives.
Thank you.
The Relatives with Let Your Light Shine, recorded live at the Four Seasons at South by Southwest 2013. We're talking with Jim Eno, and obviously the man wears a lot of hats, running Public Hi-Fi Studios and his label, but we know you best behind the drum kit and working with Spoon in the studio. Mm-hmm. And I think we're all pretty curious. You've been so busy with all the things we're talking about. Britt has been doing Divine Fits.
Yep.
What's happening with Spoon 2014 right now?
We are working on our new record, and we have about half of it done. So we're going to pick up again mid-January, and hopefully we'll have everything done around March or April or so. Fingers crossed. Knock on wood.
And anything you can say about the music at this point in reference to other Spoon music? Like, is it funkier? Is it?
I don't know if I can. I don't know about that. I haven't really thought about that. It's going to be great, though. Songs are great. Yeah, I'm super excited. Yeah.
And with a band as large as Spoon that can play all of the major festivals, and here it is, early 2014, you know it's going to be done soon. Does planning begin now for a record release date and touring and things like that, or does it just kind of happen organically?
It happens organically, but we're trying to put some sort of stakes in the ground, knowing where we're at and knowing where the songs are. And so we're hoping it's going to come out, you know, July, August, right around there, but give or take a month or two. So,
which would allow you to play some festivals.
Yeah,
if you decided to.
Exactly right. Yep.
Well, Jim, thank you so much for all the different ways that you contribute to the Austin music experience. It's just a wonderful thing to watch it all unfold, and keep the vinyl coming.
Yeah, definitely. Well, thanks for your support up here too. Really appreciate it.
Coming up on the Austin Music Experience, we'll get Jim Eno's Austin Music Experience, a story about broken tape machines and a little luck. And we want to hear your favorite Austin Music Experience. We'll tell you how you can share in a moment. Plus, live Spoon from our archives and a remembrance of the late Steve Frommels. Stay with us. Welcome back to the Austin Music Experience. I'm Jody Denberg. The man we've been spending time with this hour, Spoon's Jim Eno, is about to share his favorite Austin music experience. Stick around. We'd love for you to share yours, and in a moment, we'll tell you how.
Hi, this is Jim Eno, and this is my Austin music experience. It was about 1990, I think it was about 1999 or so. And we had just parted ways with Elektra Records, and Britt and I are working on some songs, which ended up, after they were done, became the Love Ways EP. That was around the same time as the record Girls Can Tell. And from about 95 until about 2001, we didn't have many fans, and we did a lot of touring, and we just had the mindset that we would stay out on the road and get fans that way. So we were pretty sort of down in the dumps while we were doing this recording. And we were borrowing a tape machine from someone, and it was not in very good shape. So at one point we are rewinding the tape, and then all of a sudden we hear a bang and the tape splits in two. So you have a reel of tape, and this thing shreds. And then Britt and I are looking at each other, and we're like, oh boy, great. Because we had songs already recorded, ready to mix, and we have no idea where in the reel that broke. So there was a lot of panic and a lot of sighs. And so I cut the tape, edited it back together, put the reel on, hit play, and it's going. And you hear a song fade out. Then you see the edit go by, and then the next song starts. And it happened to break right between two songs that were finished.
It's easier to take all an empty stone than the neon broken heart.
And I actually talk about this as the point that Spoon started going up just a little bit. So that is, I can put the pinpoint of when I feel like we started getting a little bit of positive momentum was right there when that tape passed, and we didn't lose any music.
I'll give it just one more chance. I need to go get some leg, get some shine on the shoes. I'll need a new pair of pants and take part in a tune.
Whether you're a newcomer to Austin or you've been here for decades and remember the days of the Armadillo, you've probably had an experience that you found exceptional. And we'd love to hear your favorite Austin music experience. We'd love to put it on this program. So pick up the phone and let us know. 1-800-535-5533. 1-800-535-5533. In preparing the show this week, we dug deep into our live archives and unearthed a gem from Spoon. About 7-8 years ago, the band was fresh off a lengthy tour. They had their album Gimme Fiction out, but they also had time to play some deep cuts for us in our Studio 1A. From that performance, here's Paper Tiger by Spoon.
You back, and I won't force my will. I will no longer do the devil's dishes. Something I read on a dollar bill. A paper tiger can't tell you where he stands. We'll go back tonight the way that we came. I'm not dumb, just wanna hold your hand. So alright, where we want to be, oh, all right. What the we could be. We'll be right back. so alright. Where we want to be, oh, alright. What that we could be. Oh, we could go kick down some doors together. Stay out till morning, sharp as knives. The new war will get you, it will not protect you. But I will be there with you when you turn out the light. So I will be there with you when you turn out the light. And I will be there with you when you turn out the light.
An exclusive live track from Spoon recorded in 2006, Paper Tiger, and that was done in our Studio 1A. Early this week, we got the news about the passing of a true Texas great, songwriter Steve Fromholtz, who was once the poet laureate of Texas. His songs have been recorded by Willie Nelson. Remember, I'd Have to Be Crazy, Willie did that. John Denver, Lyle Lovett, who did Bears in the Texas Trilogy. Probably Steve's most famous song, Texas Trilogy. In 2002, Steve Fromholtz was in our old Studio 1A with fellow songwriting legend Steve Young, and he did an amazing version of his song, Last Living Outlaw.
This is a song that some folks think is autobiographical, and it may be. I guess parts of it are. But it could be about Steve or Jerry Jeff Walker or Willie Nelson or the late, great Waylon Jennings or... anybody who's been out here doing this kind of stuff as long as we have. A lot of 3-4 songs today. You just might encounter his mangy old carcass, and he might look like a million, and he might look like hell. In a beer joint in Beaumont or at Neiman Marcus, his lawyers allow how he cleans up quite well. He lives by his wits and his wiles and his ways. He lives with his memories etched on his face. He may live forever and he may live for days. He's the last living outlaw. He's the last rolling smoker. Sees life kind of southpaw. He's a nocturnal joker. His best friends are barmaids. He's a pawnbroker's pal. We're gonna drink to the last living outlaw. He knows all the back roads from here to Kentucky, from hauling those lovely colitas and bales. He was contraband careful, uncommonly lucky, till a judge replaced Smugden with 2 years in jail. And he's wise to the ways of the turnpikes and diners, from spending his days in a red-white freight liner from Tulsa to Memphis to North Carolina. He's the last living outlaw. He's a 60s survivor. Still got a quick draw. He's an old diesel driver. Still loves the highway. She left him alive. We're gonna roll with the last living outlaw. Little lady, roll on, good buddy, roll on. Little lady, roll on, good buddy, roll on. Little lady, roll on. He's a honky-tonk hero, always a gentleman. Why, he's just a rake, and the ladies are leaves. He's been married once, has a daughter named Gwendolyn. She sends him letters he rarely receives. But he's a hit with the ladies. He can dance on his horse. He doesn't fear fighting, but avoids it as coarse. Well, he once loved his wife, probably loved mine and yours. He's the last living outlaw. He's a Friday night dancer. He'll soon be a grandpa. He's a lifetime romancer. Ladies all love him for the light in his eyes. They wanna dance with the last living, have a drink with the last living, gonna roll with the last living outlaw. Little lady, roll on, good buddy, roll on. Little lady, roll on, good buddy, roll on. Little lady, roll on.
What else can you say but thank you, Steve Fromholtz, for all the great songs. And for that specific performance of Last Living Outlaw, exclusive to the Austin Music Experience, it was recorded 12 years ago in Studio 1A. Steve Fromholtz, Bears, Texas Trilogy, Dear Darcy, and dozens more. Thanks, Steve. The Austin Music Experience is a production of KUTX Austin, produced by Art Levy with help from myself and Tyler Pratt. Our live music engineers are Cliff Hargrove and Casey Cheek. You can find all our past shows online at kutx.org. Just look for the Austin Music Experience. I'm Jody Denberg. Good night, Austin, Texas, wherever you are. ¶¶